Beloved congregation, our text this afternoon is Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. Galatians 6, verse 14. This is God's word to us. But God forbid that I should glory, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Our text speaks to us of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we see three thoughts expressed here. First, glorying or boasting in the cross, and secondly, consequences of the cross, and then thirdly, the world and the cross. So first then, glorying in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is writing to the Galatian church, and false teachers had come into that church. And they had said, well, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's good. But if you're not also circumcised, then you won't be saved just by believing in Jesus. You have to do something more than believe in Jesus. And their purpose, writes Paul in this chapter, is to glory in their flesh. And that means to say to everybody, look what I have done. To focus on themselves, their doings, their deeds, their feelings, whatever it is from them. And Paul says, no, that's false doctrine. And I warn you against it. In fact, he writes in another chapter, if you think you are saved because you are circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. We could say the same about anything else. If you think you are saved because you're such a good praying person, Christ profits you nothing. If you think you're saved because of anything besides Christ, he profits you nothing. See, the gospel cuts off everything from our side. We are saved by faith alone in Christ alone. And see, that's what makes the gospel so offensive. It really bothers everyone. It bothers every single one of us at some point, at some time. And we recognize it sometimes in our own hearts. Really? I can't do anything? No. Children, if you were to ask your mom and dad, Mommy, why did you go to the Lord's table this morning? Or Daddy, why were you at the Lord's table this morning? What would you answer them? Because I'm such a good person? Or because I know that I'm a Christian, because I do such and such things, or why? Or what if your children asked those of you who did not attend the Lord's table this morning, how come you didn't go to the Lord's table, Daddy? Or Grandpa? Or whoever? How come? How would you answer them? What would you say? Well, whatever was displayed on that table was not enough for me. I needed something more. I needed to have something besides that. I needed to be able to say, I have that other thing, whatever that other thing is. But you're going to wait all your life long for that other thing, and it's never going to come. If it has to come from you, it will never be enough. But you see now, if you were at the Lord's table this morning and you were hungering and thirsting after Christ's righteousness, hungering and thirsting after the bread of life and the water of life, then you know that you have nothing left in your own hands. Then your liberty to attend the Lord's table is that the Lord Jesus Christ gave his life a ransom for sinners like you. That Christ has done everything and that there are no conditions for you to meet. Christ is not a helping Savior. He doesn't come along and help us. Christ is a perfect Savior. He is a complete Savior. He is an all-sufficient Savior. And at the table of the Lord, all we see is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all that's proclaimed there. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is everything. And the fruit of that grace in our lives is that we begin to glory. We begin to boast in something. No, not in ourselves. We realize there's nothing in us to boast of. Not even when we compare ourselves to others, like those other Christians of whom, well, I don't know about them. No, we begin to boast in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's our boast. That's our glory. And the cross means that Christ was crucified for his own, as our substitute, in our place. Not for his own sins, he had none. He was the blameless Lamb of God. He had no actual sin, no original sin. By the cross of Christ here we mean everything that Christ accomplished. Everything he did in his work as the mediator, his obedience to the law, his suffering and his death, his burial, his resurrection. It's all included in that phrase, I glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is crucial. For Paul, that's foundational. That's the cornerstone of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we take away the cross of Christ, we have no church. We take away the cross of Christ, we have no atonement. We have no salvation, no justification, no sanctification, no redemption, no life. So the question for you and me is, have we been to the cross of Jesus Christ? Is that where you ended up last week in a week of preparation for the Lord's Supper? After examining yourself in the light of Scripture, did you end up at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ? Did you come to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning or this afternoon in attending the Lord's table? And have you by faith seen the suffering and dying mediator, that precious person of Christ Jesus the Lord? And you've been made aware of your need for his bleeding wounds. And you know that when he cried out on that cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That he was forsaken because of you. Have you been to the cross of Christ again? With all your dirty, filthy sins. Because that's all you've produced. And because you have nowhere else to go. And there is no other mediator. Or are you one of those people who has no sins for our Lord Jesus Christ? Because you're always so good. And you're always doing what you're supposed to be doing. And you're always busy with the law. And meeting the conditions. And striving to prepare yourself, to make yourself fit for Christ, always busy with yourself. Beloved, it's worthless. You can't make yourself fit for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's impossible. Because Christ Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. And if you take away the cross and the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ, then there is no hope, ever. The cross of Christ. What a precious phrase in the Bible, the cross of Christ, speaking of the mediator's work of the Lord Jesus Christ, because behind the cross of Christ we see the justice of God. That cross reveals God's justice. It reveals the sword of God's wrath hanging over us. Behind the cross of Christ is the judge of heaven and earth. And Christ on that cross is the only one who has satisfied God's justice. He's the only one who has finished his perfect work in our behalf. And that's why Paul says, I glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Behind that cross is not only God's justice. Behind that cross, we see God's love, God's mercy, God's goodness, God's kindness that meets at the cross. Love and justice, mercy and justice. It takes us back to the Council of Peace where God the Father has agreed to send his Son into this world to seek and to save the lost, and where the Son himself agreed to give his life a ransom for many, and where the Holy Spirit agreed to apply that salvation to sinners like you and me. So it's all of God's goodness and all from God's grace. The precious grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the all-sufficient work of Christ. But see, We don't like the cross of Christ. Because the cross of Christ teaches us our inability and our unwillingness. It preaches us of our sin and the curse that's due to us and our transgressions and our unworthiness and our death. That's what we begin to see when we look at the cross of Christ. We not only see Christ crucified, but also why he was crucified and for whom he was crucified and why that had to be. So that when the Holy Spirit begins his saving work in our souls, he leads us to the cross of Christ and he shows us the law of God. And we see him dying and suffering. And we realize, I caused his death. That's my doing. My whole corrupt being is there. I sinned against God. I sinned in Adam. I'm one with Adam. I have sinned against God's goodness. I've sinned against God's offer of grace to me. Have you been to the cross of Jesus Christ? See, we need to be keep on being brought back to the cross of Christ. In the preaching of the word, Christ Jesus must always come to the forefront. He must always be central. And that's the same in the Lord's Supper. That's the means of grace, is to set Christ before us. And the cross of Christ is preached to us. How do you see Christ crucified? See, when we think about the cross of Christ, and we think of the cross there and Jesus is on it, and we see the few people gathered around the foot of the cross there, maybe a couple of three or four women, maybe one or two disciples, a bunch of soldiers and some priests, but very few of them saw in Christ on the cross their own sins. And that's what we need to see. When we think of Christ on the cross, we need to see our sins there, on him. Otherwise, they're still on us. And the supper, the message of the Lord's Supper is this. This is my body, which is broken for you. This is my blood that is shed for you. And then we're invited to come and eat and drink of Christ. Was that the need of your soul this morning or this afternoon? To eat the bread of life, Christ Jesus the Lord, and to drink deeply at the fountain of the water of life. Have you seen your need for that dying Savior? And by faith, partaken of him in the Lord's Supper, to receive him, to partake of his body and his blood by faith. Oh, that's the cross of Christ. And that cross of Christ is so powerful. That cross of Christ can bring the greatest change in our lives. Because, beloved, we all have to go to that cross of Christ. None of us can go around it. We have to come face to face with Christ on the cross. And we either go there believing in him, that he's on that cross for me, for my sins, for my iniquities, that they're all on him, and trusting in him, that he has wiped it all away from me. Or we come to that cross and say, nah, I don't believe that. That's not enough for me. Or whatever else we think. I need something more besides that. But Paul says, no. The cross of Jesus Christ our Lord has changed everything in my life. God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified to me and I unto the world. That brings us to our second thought, the consequences of the cross. Paul says, by whom? That is, by the Lord Jesus Christ. The world is crucified to me. What does that mean, to crucify something? Well, when someone is crucified, he's dead. It kills. And it becomes despicable. And nobody wants anything to do with something that's crucified. So when Paul says, the world is crucified to me by Christ, then the world has become despicable to me. I want nothing to do with it anymore. And what was that, the world, for Paul at that time? Think about it. He's talking about the world of his religion. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, after all. That's what he based everything on. He's talking about the world of his works religion, and everything has changed for Paul. And that change took place through the cross of Christ, through Christ on the cross. Before Paul was converted, he lived in this world. And he thought he's living a very decent life, a life that's glorifying God. He's keeping the law like all the Pharisees are. But he lived in this world without Christ. So you could say the world is life without Christ. Sometimes people think, well, we can live in this world, we can just kind of step out of it. Step out of it. But you know that the world is where the ungodly live. But that you can be an outwardly religious person without God, without Christ in the world. And Paul learned that. He says in Philippians 3, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them but garbage, that I may win Christ. See, the cross of Christ has changed everything for Paul in his life. The cross of Christ, the dying Christ, the mediator Christ has changed Paul's life. Paul was on his way to Damascus, remember? As an enemy of the Lord Jesus Christ, pursuing the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, throwing them into prison, happy when they got stoned to death, like Stephen. And he thought it was all good. He's doing the work of the Lord, and it was all gain for him. Paul is thinking secretly on his way to Damascus, oh, God is so happy with me. God is so pleased with me. But he's an enemy of Christ. He's saying, look at me. Look how religious I am. Look at everything I'm doing for God. What did Paul need? He needed a total makeover. And so on his way to Damascus, that voice came from heaven. Children, you've heard this story before. That voice that came from heaven and said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Paul was persecuting believers. And Jesus said, no, no, Paul, you're not just persecuting them. You're persecuting me. Jesus didn't come and say to Paul, oh, Paul, what a good man you are. Look at everything you're doing for me. No, all his imagined goodness was shown to be enmity with God. Christ came, you see. The cross of Christ came, and the world was crucified to me. Paul's world as he knows it perishes. His religious foundation is destroyed. His world crumbles to pieces. Paul is done. Paul is finished. Saul is finished. What an experience he had there on the road to Damascus. And now he says, God forbid that I should glory except in my Damascus road experience. Is that what he says? Nothing of the kind. God forbid that I should glory except in the good life that I've been living ever since I was saved. No, he doesn't say that either. He says, God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of Christ. That made all the difference in Paul's life. Has that made all the difference in your life too? Only the cross of Christ? Or have you thought that maybe Christ would work alongside of you? Like his righteousness, big, right? And your righteousness right beside him, that would be pleasing to the Lord. But see, the gospel and the sacrament strip all that away from us. Then when we sit at the Lord's table, our world will collapse and perish. Because in yourself, you are nothing but a hell-worthy lost sinner. And the only thing that's going to make a difference in your life is the cross. That's what separates between the world and you. In the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus comes and he sends his Holy Spirit and he pours his love into you. And he pours his peace into you. And then Paul says, that cross, Jesus on the cross, has crucified my world. Has crucified this whole thought of life without God. Life contrary to God. Everything besides Christ. Paul has learned Christ must be all in my life. Nothing besides Christ may stand in a believer's life. Christ nailed Paul's world to the cross. He killed it for him. And Paul lost everything from himself. Because he found everything in Christ Jesus the Lord. And that's what needs to happen to you and me too. We need to lose everything spiritually from our side. To be stripped of our own righteousness. And then by faith to become one with the Lord Jesus Christ. In his suffering, in his death. And then your world too. The world as you know it, whatever it is that is so important to you, will be crucified. And you won't be able to go there anymore. You won't be able to stand there anymore. And then you sit at the Lord's table this day, not because of your decent life, not because of your holy law-keeping life, no, but because of the cross of Christ. And by faith you are one with Christ. And Christ is your righteousness. Our catechism mentions that so many times. That Christ is the mediator made of God unto us sanctification. His holiness is central. And in communion of faith with Christ, his righteousness is my righteousness. And when I know that, then I glory in the cross of Christ. And I follow him drinking from the streams of the water of life. And I receive wisdom and strength and everything out of Christ as I live close to him and live out of him and out of his fullness and get to enjoy him at the Lord's table. Those false teachers came to Galatia. There were some others there too. They weren't talking about that if you believe in the Lord Jesus, you also have to do other things in order to know for sure that you're saved. No, they said, because you believed in Jesus and because you have received grace, you can keep on sinning freely. Because now you have received grace. You can do whatever you want. But the reality, says Paul, no, you can't. Because Christ crucified the world to you. And you can do nothing outside of Christ or without Christ. Is that your life, dear friend? What is your world that the cross of Christ needs to crucify? Why does Jesus need to crucify our world? It's because of what John writes in 1 John 2, verse 15 and 16. John writes this, do not love the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now John there mentions the world. Love not the world, nor the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, three times he uses that little phrase, the world. What does he mean by that? John were here, we would ask him, right? John, what do you mean? The world. Well, he tells us in verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is of the world. So you can summarize what John says here. The world that Christ crucifies for his people is the lust of their flesh. Whatever it is that your flesh is lusting after, Christ crucifies it for you. He kills that for you. The lust of the eyes. Whatever it is that your eyes are lusting after, Christ kills it for you. The pride of life. Whatever it is that fills you with pride, Christ kills it for you. That doesn't mean that you never lust anymore. It doesn't mean that you are never proud anymore. But that is not your life anymore. That's not where you live anymore. That's not your address anymore, like we heard this morning. That's not what's ruling you. That's not what's dominating you. Why? Why is that not your love anymore? Because they are not of the Father, but of the world. And Paul says, God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom that world is crucified to me, and I unto the world. By God's grace, we do not love anymore the lust of the flesh. We do not love anymore the lust of the eyes. We do not love the pride of life anymore, because they are not of the Father. Well, one more thought this afternoon, the world and the cross. But first we sing 384. In verse 16 of chapter 6, Paul says, as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them. And the rule he's talking about is our text in verse 15. So verse 14 and 15, but God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision avails, that means counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Or we would say a new creation. But Paul is saying in their context, circumcision and uncircumcision don't count for anything. The only thing that counts is this new creation. And what is that new creation that counts for everything? Well, that's what exists when the old way of thinking, the old way of thinking with the world is crucified with Christ. In Galatians 2, Paul speaks of being crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ, he says. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. That's that new creation. That's called a new birth in John chapter 3 and the newness of life in Romans chapter 6. And Paul is saying, in one sense, Paul doesn't live anymore. Christ lives through him. And yet Paul does live. And the new Paul is this Paul who depends so much on the Lord Jesus Christ, day by day, moment by moment, that it is as though Christ were living through him. Christ lives in me, he says. That's why he says, but God forbid that I should glory in anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to glory, he wants to boast, he wants to be joyful in the cross. Faith is not just some dry intellectual assent to certain truths. It doesn't just agree that Christ died for sinners. No, it glories in this. It glories in the cross. It boasts in the wonder, the amazement of the cross of Christ. It cherishes the benefits of the cross. And Paul shows in two ways what it means to glory only in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The world is crucified to me, and I am crucified unto the world. It's as if Paul says, since the Lord Jesus Christ came into my life through his Holy Spirit, and he has won me over to him, the world looks like a despised and worthless, cursed thing. When a thing is crucified, it's rejected and scorned. And that's what Paul now thinks of the world when he met Christ. I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Paul is so enamored by the love of Christ that the benefits that the world could offer him, whatever they may be, look to him as cold as a crucified corpse. It means nothing to me anymore. But he says it another way too. I am crucified to the world. So that when the world looks at Paul, it sees nothing attractive either. He says, I'm like that corpse as far as the world is concerned. Christians who believe in self-denial for Christ's sake alone, they're considered crazy people. You're nuts if you think that way. You're scorned. As far as the world is concerned, and the world here, you can take it as everything that is contrary to God. A life devoted to a crucified Christ is a wasted life. What fools you are to waste your life on someone who's crucified 2,000 years ago. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 4, we are made as the filth of the world, and we are the offscouring of all things unto this day. He says the world, that world that is against God in this world, that has become garbage to me. And I have become garbage to the world. And the reason Paul mentions his rejection of the world and the world's rejection of him, that highlights all the more the value of the cross of Christ. Whatever the world could offer him, and it could offer him a lot. He was a philosopher taught at the feet of Gamaliel. He could have gone anywhere with those credentials. He says, I want it not. All the status and all the pleasures that would give me, I don't want it. Or think of his life as a Pharisee, how high he could have climbed in the Pharisee's ladder. He could have been at the top. He could have joined Gamaliel as a teacher. And he says, you know what? It's all a big garbage pile to me. I glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything else I consider but garbage compared to the love and the cross of Christ. Paul has this before him. The cross of Christ. Wherever he goes, whatever he's doing, that's before him. That's in the back of his mind. See everything, hear everything, do everything, don't do things, all because of the cross of Christ. He just seems to be mastered and help captive there by that one great scene in world history, the cross of Calvary, and the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. So, beloved, in what do you boast? In what do you glory? See, Paul learned never to glory in himself, never to compare himself with any others. He learned not to glory in his Damascus Road experience, or any other experience for that matter. And the same is true for believers. When our faith is active, when our faith is working, God forbid that I should boast, except in the cross of Christ. Why did you attend the Lord's Supper today? God forbid that we should glory in anything except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. That crucified Lord Jesus Christ has crucified the world to you. Lust and pride are now dead to you. And now as we think of that in this coming week and in the rest of our lives, let's say, if we think these thoughts, I glory in nothing except the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what's in my mind. The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is in me. Christ is with me. Then, when we are faced with decisions in this present world where we live, we can always ask questions, can't we? We can say, can I do this with Christ in me? Can I do this with Christ with me? It becomes very practical, doesn't it? Can I participate in whatever activity we're thinking of doing? Can I do this with Christ? You fill in the blank. Can our family watch this latest Netflix release with Christ? Can we listen to this particular piece of music with Christ? Can we read these books with Christ? Can we play this board game or this computer game with Christ? That's a question worth asking. Because remember, as believers, we're saying, we glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we stand for. That's what's with us. That's what saved us. That's what keeps us going. The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you must do it without Christ, then it's better. Best not to do it at all. Think about that with your families. You should be asking these things in your family. Can we go to this certain place, whatever this place is you're planning to go or whatever you're planning to do, can we go to this certain place with Christ? Can we take Christ there with us? He is with us. He's in us. Can we take him along? Will it please him? And if you can't take him, you best stay home. Think of any kind of business dealings you may be thinking about. Can I do this deal with Christ? Think of relationships you're building with whoever. Can I do this with Christ? How will you live your life if your motto is, God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified to me and I am crucified unto the world. If that's your motto of life, and it should be, as a believer, then be prepared for a rich life. The richest life ever in Christ Jesus the Lord. All the conditions ever are met in Christ Jesus the Lord. If that's your motto, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, then be prepared for a holy life, meaning a separated life. That's what holy means, separated. Because the world is crucified to you. Whatever that means in your life, this lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, the pride of life. Christ has crucified it to you. If your motto is the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, then be prepared for difficulties in your life. You are crucified to the world as a believer. You're marked and you will be despised because of it. The cross of Christ, to unbelievers, it's a stumbling block. It is foolishness. But Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 24, "But unto them who are called, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God." Dear friend, if you're here this afternoon and you are not yet in Christ by faith, then flee to this cross. Flee to the Christ of the cross, and you will find in him the all-sufficient Savior that you need. When you find him, as the result of him finding you, then you too will begin to say the words of our text, "God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified to me, and I am crucified to the world." Amen. Let's pray. Lord our God, gracious Father, we thank thee for thy precious word, for the inspired word of God in our text this afternoon. God forbid that we should glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, we pray that the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ may always be central in our lives, in our thinking, in our decision making, in our discussions. Where does Christ fit in this picture? How does the cross deal with this situation that we're in? What does the cross of Christ have to do now with my disobedience or my obedience? Grant that in all things we may come back time and again to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we may know that Christ has crucified the world to us, our world, that filthy lust of the flesh, and filthy lust of the eye, and filthy pride of life, and that we are crucified to the world. Lord, be with those who are still strangers to the grace of God, strangers to Christ and his cross. Oh Lord, let this be the day where you meet them and you draw them irresistibly unto thyself. Bless us this week. Lord, we pray that when the opportunities arise, we would speak with boldness of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to do our work in a God-glorifying way, bringing glory to King Jesus. Bring us safely back next Lord's Day, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.